All right. So we are holding on Gimel on the Bay's second line from the bottom. We started a discussion yesterday as follows. Abaya had asked the question whether a person's hand is considered like chimerous in the sense that if a person stuck his hand out into another rishus, would we say that he were not with holding something in it, is he allowed to bring it back in or not? So we brought in that connection two brises, one that says yes and one that says not. We thought that maybe that relates to this machlokes. Is it chimerous or not? We said no. We started bringing a bunch of other answers that don't necessarily require us to say that there's a machlokes between them on that. One is that we could say everybody agrees it's chimerous, but there's lamai lamas sarta versus lamata mas sarta, above or below 10 tfachim, because above 10 amos in Rosh Hashanah is makom ptur. Another one is whether he stuck his hand out before Shabbos or after Shabbos, where we said that if he did it before Shabbos, he didn't do anything wrong at that point. Therefore, the Chachamim don't penalize him, whereas if he did it after Shabbos began, then they would. And in the middle there, we interjected with something that we're going to now talk about again in a minute, about Labibi Barbaya's question about if somebody puts dough in the oven on Shabbos mistakenly, do we allow him to take it out? Do we allow him to remove that unbaked bread before he comes to a Chiyuv Chatos? Because if he leaves it there till it bakes, it's going to be Chiyuv Chatos, so do we allow it? And then we continued with more possible explanations, more possible reconciliations of the two brises, the shogig versus the mazid. If he did it, if he stuck out again, the shogig, we're not going to penalize him, the mazid, we will. Or you could say the last one we said was that it could be talking to everybody if it's all shogig, but the question is the two brises are arguing, if he did it, the shogig, do we penalize him anyway? Because shogig is easily confused with mazid. If you allow him to do it when he was the shogig, then everybody who's mazid is going to claim, I was shogig, and then the whole din is going to fall apart. So now we haven't finished yet. Now comes the last answer, the Boris Sema, another possibility you could say to reconcile the two brises, again in such a way that it has nothing to do with a biased question of whether the person's hand is timeless or not. La'olam loikon. So we could say that if it was b'shogeg, the Chachamim are not going to penalize him, so only if it was b'mezid. B'loikasha, kan la'oysa chotter, kan la'chotter acheres. It depends. Do we say that he's allowed to bring back his hand into the same chaser that he stuck it out of, but not into a different chaser? What we mean is, in other words, let's say, so again, he's standing in one chaser. He reaches his hand out through a window or a hole in the wall or whatever, out into Rosh Hashanah holding fruit in his hand. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, can he bring his hand back in? What we're saying, according to this last answer, is we're going to allow him to bring his hand back in with the fruit to where he started out. We're not going to allow him, even if there's a chaser next door, which he could easily reach from where he is now and be able to deposit the fruit in there, we're not going to allow him to do that. Because then it comes out that he was able to accomplish something that he wanted to on Shabbos. He wanted to get the fruit out of his chaser. And look, he was able to accomplish it on Shabbos. We allowed him to do it in such a way that it winds up with it in another chaser. So therefore, we're going to allow him to undo what he did to begin with and bring it back into that chaser, but not to transfer it to a different chaser. In which case, Tosfos points out that according to that last answer, the word lachzira is not quite as precise as it was in the other answers. Lachzira, we assumed all this time, meant to bring his hand back in to where he started. Now we're saying lachzira means lachzira, to bring it back into a different chaser.
We're not letting him do
lachzira. We're not letting him, exactly. We're not letting him lachzira into a different chaser. We are allowing him lachzira into the same chaser. So when the two brises said also lachzira and muta lachzira, also lachzira means to transfer it to another chaser, and muta lachzira would mean allowed to transfer it to another chaser.
But it's an improper word, lachzira.
No, but that's fine.
It means to bring it back to where it was.
It doesn't have to. It could mean it could mean just to bring it into some place. As in fact, that last one, Kidabomine Rava Merav Nachman. As in fact, we find that Rava asked Rav Nachman, a similar question, Hoisigad Malaya Paris, if a person's hand was full of Paris, and he stuck it out into Rosh Hashanah, Maholach Zira Loisa Chaser. Do we allow him to return his hand back to that same chaser, Omele Mutter? And Rav Nachman tells him, yes, it's Mutter. What about Lachaser Acheres Mahu? Then Rava says, what about to a different chaser than what would be the din? Omele Oster. Then he tells him it's Oster. So the question is, Maishna, the Rava asks, what's the difference? and Reb Nachman, and between this case and the previous case, why should he be allowed to that chaser and not to a different chaser? Either way, it's transferring from one chaser to another, which, assuming there's an Eruv between them, or assuming that no Eruv is needed, as the case may be, ought to be mutter. Reb Nachman answers him, L'chitechul Allah kura de milcha. When you eat with it, when you measure with it, actually, is Rashi's first explanation, a quart of salt. In other words, Rashi says, it's like saying in a joking way, when you measure me out a quart of salt, then I'll tell you, then I'll, like you perform me that service, then I'll give you the answer. The pechol, according to that, comes from a word that means to measure. The chol b'sholei shafar ha'aretz, we have, for example, in a pasuk in Yeshaya, it's an asherd of Shabbos Nachmu. That means he measures with his hand, tavyachol Hashem, measures with his hand all the dust of the earth. Second explanation, Rashi says, was chitecho, means when you eat. Even if you eat a quart of salt, you're not going to be able to figure out to reconcile these two things You're not going to be able to say that these two things are the same. In other words, like one of the Achronim of Olos Moshe Horowitz says, like Rava realized there's some kind of distinction. That's why he asked the question. But like to him, it was like as if it was a tasteless food. Like it doesn't appeal to him. Sort of Nachman is telling him, no matter how much salt you put into it, you're not going to be able to say that those are the same thing. You're going to have to find, whether it appeals to you or not, you're going to have to find there is a distinction between the two cases. Between one chaser and a different chaser. Yeah, the Bnei Sosfer in a sefer that's called Magid Taluma brings another interesting thing. He says you find that a large amount of salt is going to have at least a little bit of melach zoymus in it, which is why, for example, you have the din after you eat, as we learned in brachos, you have to wash my machronim. If you're measuring out salt, you should wash afterwards as well because of melach zoymus. So like he's telling him, like if you hadn't had very much salt, I could understand. Your eyes are open. So then I would wonder, your eyes are open, so how is it you don't see the distinction yourself? But apparently you've measured out a lot of salt, so you've gotten a little melach zoymus in your eyes. Your eyes are like a little blinded, and therefore you don't see the distinction that you're supposed to be seeing.
With the poison and the salt, those things?
Yeah, the melach zoymus is some kind of salt from Sodom. It includes various, and even nowadays, the salt from Sodom, from the Dead Sea or whatever, includes various minerals in it. Some of them are harmful to your eyes, especially in large amounts. There's a reason why when you go to the Dead Sea, don't keep your eyes open in the water over there. Okay. So anyway, the point is, Rav Nachman tells him, there is an obvious distinction. If you let him bring back his arm into the same chaser, then he didn't accomplish his machshava. He wanted to clear out his chaser. He wasn't able to. But if you allow him to put it into a different chaser, after all, he accomplished what he was doing, and we don't want him to do that because he wasn't supposed to be doing that to the first place. And if you allow him that, Rashi explains, the point is, the Chachamim made a gzera to not allow it because a different time he might say, okay, why bother sending it to another chaser? I may as well just throw it into Rosh Hashanah, and then he would be over on Issa Daraisa. So because of that, we don't want him to accomplish what he set out to do, which is to get it out of his chaser.
If you go through Rosh Hashanah to another chaser that is served at Lulim,
that would be the same thing. You know, in fact, Tosfos talks about. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that there's a difference when it comes to passing something from one window or one porch to another. There's a difference between whether they're on two sides of the street, two sides of Rosh Hashanah, whether it's across Rosh Hashanah Abim, or whether it's next door to each other, where there's a little bit of Rosh Hashanah Abim between them, but they're next door. So even we're going to learn, I think, in the 11th parak that when they're across the street on a daraisa level, there's no issur. Because in the way they did, again, we learned the whole concept of Aisav Achnasa from the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the way they loaded up the wagons with the crushing is they had the wagons one in front of another, which are like houses on the same side of the street, and they're passing boards from one to another. They're not passing them across the width of Rosh Hashanah to another wagon. So it's also Dirabanan, of course, but it is Mutar Daraisa. But even if we're talking about over here, like you're saying, you're across the street to a different chaser, nevertheless, the Chachamim are going to prevent him from doing that. Because
the wagons are lined up over here, and here's the houses.
No, so it's not that you had wagons and houses. The point is that you had a row of wagons, and then a few amas away, you had another row of wagons. So that's the equivalent of the equivalent of a row of houses on this side and a row of houses on this side, and then you have you passing across the street, which they didn't do, versus you're passing from one wagon to the wagon behind it, which they did that.
Oh, so the wagons on both sides, but they didn't pass it this way.
They didn't pass it across to Rosh Hashanah, and they only passed it.
Rosh Hashanah would have been necessarily 18 amos. How can you pass
16? No, the total width of the Rosh Hashanah is 16 amos. You can have wagons or whatever in it, where the wagons themselves are Rosh Hashanah, but the space around them is still Rosh Hashanah.
So if you have two wagons on Rosh Hashanah, distant, let's say, 5 amos or 10 amos.
So fine, the space between them is still Rosh Hashanah.
In fact,
in fact, we're going to talk about that later on. We're going to talk about cases where you have pillars in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. We'll get there.
If you pass the window above 10 amos, then really wouldn't be a problem.
Well, no, because that's true. Because the Makom Patur, but nevertheless, though, no. Again, because they did it that way in the Mishkan, therefore that's an exception to the rule about 10 tefachim. We're going to see also later on. We're going to get to other cases, and as we go through our sugya, we're going to get to our sugya here, the first sugya, the Shabbos over here. We're going to talk about various cases where the 10 tefachim rule doesn't apply. Okay. Right. Yes. Okay, so anyway, so that's the difference. So now a number of these distinctions are brought by halacha. You have a siman about this in Shulchan Aruch, siman Shin Mem Ches, that talks about these dinim, where if the person stuck out his hand amazed, then we're going to make him, and it was after Shabbos began, then we're going to make him stick his hand out there the whole Shabbos. But if it was b'shoigig, or if he did it before Shabbos, then we're going to allow him to bring it back in, but not into a different, but only into the same place, not into a different chatzos. So we're using a couple of the answers in the Gemara over here. Okay. Next, and we do say also what we mentioned yesterday about Tosfos' point, if he stuck it out below 10 tefachim, why don't we allow him to bring it up above 10 tefachim and then bring it back in? And Tosfos in fact said that he could, but the Rashba had disagreed, and the halacha is like the Rashba, and the Rebbe passed like the Rashba. Well, yes. Okay. Well, no, because, I mean, you could answer the Gemara didn't mention that case, because let's say you could be talking about, I think the Rosh mentions this, let's say he stuck out his hand through a hole, so there is no above or 10 tefachim, there's no room to be able to get above 10 tefachim and bring it back in.
So it's always above 10 tefachim.
No, I'm saying if you had a small hole that's just big enough for his hand, whatever, then there's no bringing it back in above 10 tefachim, because he has to bring it back in through the same hole that he stuck it out of.
Right.
But yeah, but anyway, the Rashba says even if it was a larger hole or window or what have you, you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Boyer of Bibi Barbaya, Hidbik Pasbatanu, we asked the question, if a person stuck bread into the oven on Shabbos, the question was, Hitiru Loi Ludosa, did the Chachamim allow him to take it out of the oven, Kodim Shiyavu Lidei Chiyu Chatas, before it gets baked, and he comes to a Chiyu Chatas, Oi Loi Hitiru, or did they not? There is a Gzeira Dirabbanan, there is an Isser Dirabbanan, a Shvus, to not take bread out of the oven on Shabbos, even though on the Daraisa level it would be allowed, because it's not considered a malacha, the Gemara later on.
It was
unbaked
before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, there was no bread in the oven at all. He put in the dough after Shabbos began.
And then he realized,
well, that's what we're going to talk about. Was it Shogig or was it amazing? That's what we're going to get to now. But in any case, Rabbi Barbaya had asked the question, do we allow him to be over on the Issa Drabbanan and take it out? And then that way he won't come to a Chiyuv, or do we not? By the way, Tosfos brings up an interesting point. Let's talk about it soon. We get to Issa Skill. Okay. Amalek of Achabah by a little bit. Hey, she dummy. What exactly is the scenario over here? Elema b'shogig, are we talking about where he put it in to begin with b'shogig, v'loy idkarlay, and he didn't end up remembering before it was baked that he was b'shogig? Well, what do you mean? Do we allow him? Lamani too. Who are they supposed to allow? He himself didn't even think to come and ask about it. In fact, the Rashba constructs a scenario where it would be possible, but he says Hitiru implies that he himself came to ask the Shaila, not that other people are just telling him, hey, you weren't supposed to do that. Okay. The El Alav that you had of Itzer, are you going to say it's talking about that he remembered before it got baked that he was being over on an Isser of Shabbos? In that case, fine. If he remembers before it got baked, what's the problem? Mim Chayev, is he actually going to be Chayev Achatos? He's not going to be Chayev Achatos in that case, because Vatnam, you learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Kol Chayev Achatos, Einin Chayevin, Adshetei Tchilos and Shroga, Vasek and Shroga. When is a person Chayev Achatos for Shabbos? Only at the beginning and the end of the Malacha, we're B'shoigin. We're B'shoigin. Achatos, we're talking about. We're not talking about skila yet.
Yeah.
We're talking about chatzin.
There's no
chatzin. Right. So, but only if the entire malacha was done b'shogeg. So, for example, let's say we were talking until now about hetzav achnasa. So, let's say a person picked up something on Shabbos b'shogeg and started carrying it out, and halfway through, before he put it down, he realized that he wasn't supposed to do that, and then he puts it down, and he's not chayav achnasa because chilasid was shogeg and the end was mezid, or vice versa. So it has to be the whole thing was b'shogeg. The same thing over here. Putting the bread in the oven is the beginning of the malacha. It's getting baked is the end of the malacha. So it has to be b'shogeg the whole time to be chai b'chatos.
Begin with shogeg, then it would be baked.
So if we're going to say that he remembered halfway through, you know, I'm not supposed to have that in the oven, then at that point, it's not shogeg anymore.
Would you have a knas in the Ramadan if it was both shogeg and mezuzah?
And there's no knas particularly. I mean, we're going to the knas in that case when it comes to preparing food on Shabbos is we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta is when there are cases where he's never allowed to eat it, and nobody else is allowed to eat it after Shabbos. But they should also there's rules about that. That's the knas.
So there are 2 years. There is a knas. Why there shouldn't be?
Because over there, because first of all, his solid malacha grew, so like we have to buttress it. But in any case, over here, what other knas are we supposed to do besides telling him that he can't eat this bread? Over there, yeah, same thing. The knas is that he stuck his hand out, so he has to leave it there, or he has to bring it back into the same culture. What do you want him to do? What should the knas be, besides telling him that he can't eat the bread? Well, that's the knas. No, knas. Only in yeshivas do they have knas with money. Yeah. Okay, onward. Okay, so El of Amazed, so you're going to say the case is talking about where the person put the bread into the oven of Amazed. What do you mean you're talking about a chatas, kodim shiva the day? It's a skill of Mibarilai. The expression should be before he comes to an Issa skilla. Because
it cannot be
b'shogeg. It can't be b'shogeg, I'm going
to
say it. So it has to be b'mezid, and if it's b'mezid, then you're not talking about a chatas, you're talking about skilla. Tosfos actually points out, if he knows he's going to be on the hook for skilla, and we tell him, I'm sorry, you can't take the bread out of the oven because you're going to be chayav skilla, is he going to listen to us? He's going to take it out regardless because he doesn't want to be chayav skilla. So Tosfos answers, yeah, but on the other hand, if we say that he can't take it out because we, chachamim, don't allow him, then he's not going to be chayav skilla for that.
He won't be.
So if he doesn't take it out because he himself doesn't feel the need to take it out, yeah, then he's going to be chayav skilla. But if that's the question. Do we allow him to? And that way, for sure, there's no issus skila. Do we not allow him, and then really there's not an issus skila either, because the fact that he's not taking it out because we won't let him prevents him from getting a chayav skila.
The one we're asking for the rishuyas, basically.
I don't see how. I'm not sure what
he was saying. The same thing. If we allow him to take back his hand, or we don't allow him.
Well, okay, right. Well, that's why we brought this. That's why we brought this question of Rabbi Babai in the first place, right? Yeah. Tosfos also brings up another interesting point. One second. Tosfos also brings up another interesting point over here, which is we know there's a concept called Asuras Safek. You have a machloek in a few places in Shas between Rav Yechon and the Shlokish, whether a person is given Asuras or Safek, something where he's doing, it might be also, it might be not, or it might turn out to be also, it might be not, can he be chayav for it? Wouldn't putting bread into the oven always be Asuras Safek? Because not necessarily is he going to leave it in the oven. He might plan to take it out before it actually bakes.
Yeah.
So Tosfos answers that because when do we say it's a Asuras Safek? Only if there's something else, if he takes something else of him doing in order for it to be also. An example of it Tosfos brings is in Chulin, where you talk about the din over there of Shiloh HaKam. So suppose you have a person that's taking a mother bird, which he's not allowed to, like Sikha Chaim Alabonim, and they warn him don't. What would make him Chayev Malkus for that? Only if he just puts back the bird, because then he can still be Mekayim the Esther of sending it away. Only if, like, he broke its wings or killing it or whatever, that would make it that he's Chayim. So they can't give him Asura now because he might check it or he might break its wings or whatever. But over here, it's the other way around. If he leaves it in the oven, it's going to bake. Yes, there's a possibility he might take it out. But that they don't have to consider. That they can still that we exactly
that's
not considered suffix, and therefore they can give him asura. And as long as he put in the bread, toshkede dibra of asura as usual, then yes, we can if it ends up baking in there, then yes, he can be chayiv skila for it. Well, they gave him asra. They saw him about to put the bread in the oven. They give him asra. Toasted they give when he puts it into the oven. The fact that afterwards he might take it out doesn't prevent the asra from being a valid asra. If he ends up taking it out, yeah, then okay, he wasn't over on an issus pila, so he saves himself from that. But if he leaves it in there until it bakes, yes, he's going to be chayv pila.
Even though it wasn't asra stuffing.
Wasn't asra stuffing, that's Tosfos's point, because there's a difference.
It was not,
that's Tosfos's point, because there's a difference between giving him asra, where the only way he's going to be chayv is based on something else that he might do, like breaking the mother bird's wings, versus here, it's the other way around, depending on something he might not, he doesn't need to do anything to be chayv, he needs to just leave it in there. So that's the distinction between something that he would have to do in order to be over versus something else that he would have to do to be over versus over here. Yeah.
What's the understanding that he might break the mother's wings?
Because if they,
she was to fly away.
That, right, then she can't fly away. Then he was mavatzel the mitzvah tasei, and now he was over on the mitzvah loisase without being able to do the mitzvah tasei, and now he gets malchus. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so again, the question is that it should be issus skila. Rav Shiva la'olam b'shogeg. So Rav Shiva says, actually, we are talking about, let's say he put it in b'shogeg. You're right. We can't say we're matter to him because either he doesn't realize or he realized and he's not coming to a chiyuv chatas. We're talking about the question was, Rabbi Rabbah, by his question, can we let somebody else take it out of the oven? Reuven put it into the oven. Should we, Shimon runs to ask the Rav, what should he do? Should the Rav tell Shimon, yes, take it out of the oven to prevent Reuven from doing that? Or not. To prevent Reuven from being chayv b'chatas.
To take it out
in order to prevent Reuven from doing an issur d'oraisa, which would make them chayv b'chatas.
It's for Shas to spend
two people. Well, no, it wouldn't be Shas Shasua. No. Because again, the Radia, the taking it out of the oven, is not a malacha at all. The malacha involved putting it in. So you have, he prevented the malacha from being completed. It would be, I guess you could say, in terms of the Rishurius, let's say, it would be the equivalent of as if somebody picked up something in Rishurius, intending to take it into Rishurius, and before he had a chance to carry it out, somebody else knocked it out of his hand and then it stayed in Rishurius. So here it would be similar. So that would be the question. Do we allow Shimon to take it out of the oven and be over on the Issur d'Rabbanan of taking bread out of the oven to prevent Reuven from being over on not skiller, talking about the shaving, of course. Vaskifor of Sheshif, however, of Sheshif asks on that, V'chi omrim lo la'odim chatei kadei sheyizke chaveiracha. Since when do we say to one person, you do an avera in order that somebody else should not be high of a more serious punishment? We don't do that. So what's the logic that we should be telling Shimon to do an avera? Now, we actually have... Well, it is a reputation. We don't find such a thing that Shimon should be told. So what's Rabbi Gabbai's have on Mina? That we should allow Shimon to take it out of the oven and be over on Issa Drabanan to save Reuven from a Chayuch Hatas. We don't find such a thing. In fact, Tosfos points out, on the face of it, we do find cases where we tell somebody to do an Issa Kal in order for somebody else to not do an Issa Chamer. So for example, Tosfos brings an answer, Tosfos brings a case involving where an Amoritz might end up eating Tevel, which is a serious issur, it's an issur mitzvah b'deshamayim, and therefore the chover is allowed to do something which is a minor issur of not taking truma and maaser minam mukkah from something that's adjacent in order to avoid that the Amoritz shouldn't do an issur chover. So one thing Tosfos makes the distinction is, was the issur done yet? If the issur wasn't done yet, then yes, sometimes we will tell. Like in that case, we'll tell the chaver to do an issur kal to prevent the person from doing an issur chaver. Here, the issur was already done, or was already begun at least. It's just a question of now, is the guy going to be chayav achatas or not? That we're not going to allow Shimon to do an issur. We're not going to allow Shimon to do an issur in order to save Reuven from the consequences of something that he already did. In that case, the Amoritz didn't yet eat the fruit. In this case, Reuven already put the bread in the oven.
Although even what he did was midrabanan, not midraisa.
That's neither here nor there. Over there also, okay, that's neither here nor there. I mean, it's called an issur kal relative to eating.
But
the case of Tosfos is also, it's an issur kal. Not necessarily. To take me on mukaf, I don't know if it's d'oraisa or not, but whatever.
What you mentioned is by Amoritz not giving mice yet, he's not mechuyev.
No, so you have a situation over there involving, and you have a situation involving over there where the chover invites the Amoritz to fill up a basket of figs from his tree and be able to eat them. So the Amoritz is not going to bother taking truma, at least not meiser, before he eats it. He being an Amoritz is not careful with meiser, so the chover is allowed to take meiser on behalf of it from other produce of his, even though it's not min amukov, even though it's not nearby, and the chachila, you're not supposed to do that. To prevent the Amoritz from doing the iser, from eating the iser. Maybe it's very nice, maybe not, I'm not sure, but either way, the point is that, because again, over here, the point is that because over here, Reuven already did something wrong. He already put the dough in the oven. The question is now, is he going to suffer the consequences of it and have to bring a chatos? There, we're not going to say that he allows.
But they save the money. That's what he's doing.
Well, okay, fine. But even
is there a cow, is there a cow of hummer here?
Yeah. No.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, there's going to be a serious consequence because he's going to come to a chiyuv chatos. That's considered, the fact that he's over on an issur chatos is considered a serious consequence.
Compared to taking something out of the oven shabbos.
Well, right. Tosfos gives a couple of other answers. Another one is that over here, the reason why we don't allow it is because the guy was pesheya. He was careless. He put the bread in the oven when he wasn't supposed to. Therefore, we're not going to allow somebody else to save him from the consequences of it. Where it wasn't that he was careless, then we're going to allow it even if the thing was already done. Putting it in before Shabbos, he wasn't over anyway because the malacha wasn't begun on Shabbos.
But taking it off,
is also derabanan. But fine, no, we're not going to allow. There's no reason to allow it. We're not saving anybody from the issue anyway. All you're doing is preventing it from being burnt. That's not a valid reason to take it on Shabbos. Anyway, so that's the second answer in Tosfos. It depends whether it was pesheya or not. And a third answer Tosfos says is also it depends whether it's a mitzvah derabin. A mitzvah derabin, we're going to allow one person to do an issur kal in order to save people from the issur chomer.
Pesheya is the same as
maybe? That's not quite the same. Pesheya just means he was careless. In other words, he did something that he should have been more careful. He should have remembered that it's Shabbos and he's not allowed to put bread in the oven. So he wasn't lazy. He didn't deliberately say, I know it's Shabbos and I'm going to bake anyway. But he was careless in, yeah. Okay, so a number of those answers are brought in Shulchan Aruch about cases when you're allowed to do something on Shabbos, whether an Issur D'Rabbanan, or sometimes even an Issur D'Oraisa, in order to save somebody else. One interesting example it talks about in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Siman Shin Vav is you have a case where a person's daughter was kidnapped by Goyim, where if he doesn't save her, then she's going to end up being assimilated among the Goyim and is never going to be able to keep Shabbos again. It's going to do all kinds of other averus as well. So that would be a case. There's no she over here. She didn't do anything wrong. So that would be a case where, yeah, it's a matter of, it's a matter of the Kuach Nefesh. So they're actually, yeah, you're allowed to do everything, even Isurim Daraita, in order to save her. But the point is, in other words, so again, one point over there is the fact that it's the Kuach Nefesh, but another factor is also that she wasn't Peshea. Had she been Peshea, then not necessarily, because like Tosfos is saying over here in one of their answers, then we wouldn't necessarily allow him an Issur Kal. Unless, again, if it's for the Rabbin, to save the Rabbin, then that's another case. So yeah, those are the various answers in Tosfos. Okay. So anyway, the point is, in our case, none of those considerations apply. The guy was Peshea. The thing has already been done. There's no mitzvah de Rabbin, so we shouldn't allow Shimon to take the bread out of the oven. So what's your bibi ba ba'i ha'ba mina that we should? No, actually, we are talking about the case where he put it in bemezid. Okay, you have to change your Bibi Bar Bias question. It wasn't he was asking whether we allow him or somebody else. No, just him we're talking about, not somebody else, to take it out before he comes to an Isser Chathos, that was the original version. No, we'll change that. We'll say the question is before he comes to an Isser Skila. So the case is he put it in Bemezid, they gave him Asra, and now the question is, are we going to allow him to take it out? Because if he doesn't take it out, he's going to be Chayiv and Isser Skila.
You can't say, I saw only a Chathos, they will be Chayiv.
No, they gave him Asra. It will be Chayiv Skila, yes, it will be Chayiv Skila. No, they gave him Asra. Now the question is, they gave him Asra. He put it in after the Asra. Now the question is, are we going to allow him to take it out before he actually comes to the Issur Skila, or are we not?
So why did we have to change it?
So we have to change it because we said that there's no way that we could make it work if it was B'Shevi. Because you can't...
Yes, but why did we say...
If it's not B'Shevi, it has to be B'Mezin. And B'Mezin means Skila. B'Mezin means Skila.
Therefore...
So that's the question. Therefore, do we allow him to take it out before he comes to an Issur Skila?
Compared to,
in fact, Rav Acha Breda Rava learned explicitly that was your Bibi Ba'abai's question, and actually he learned it wasn't a question, but rather a statement. Amar Rabbi Abaye hid the class of Tanu. He too loy lo dosa. According to this, he's actually saying it as a statement, not as a question. That Rabbi Abaye is saying yes, if he puts it into the oven, but made it, he too loy lo dosa. The Chacham do allow him to take it out. Code him to over the day Issa Skila before he reaches an Issa Skila. So we will allow him. According to that last lashon, we will allow him to do that, even though he did wrong by putting it in the first place. We will allow him to take it out to avoid an Issa Skila. So that's it. So we started out with a question. We started out assuming that Rabbi Abaye was asking a question. Do we allow him to or not? We worked through the question and figured out eventually that we're talking about where it was demated. And now the last version is that we have. He wasn't asking a question. He was making a statement that in that case we do allow it.
So we supersede the Gemara's questions that usually we don't.
No. Here we're not talking about somebody else. Here we're talking about him himself. He himself, the Chacham allow him to take it out before he comes to an Issa Skila.
So they wouldn't ask someone else.
Somebody else, no. Then you would have, we still said before, that we don't say Chatei Kedesh is Kechabei Rabim.
Only Rabim.
Only if it's Rabim, or only if the guy wasn't Pashaya, or the thing didn't take place yet. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Pasha to Aniyas Yodin. And we said if a poor person sticks in his hand, and we said that if he puts something into the balabas's hand, then he's chayev because he did akira v'hanocha. So the question is, am I chayev? Why would he be chayev in all these cases where it involves akira v'hanocha? But in an akira v'hanocha, may agavim mokam dalad adalad galecha. Don't you need that the akira and the hanocha should be from a place or to a place that is at least 4x4 tefachim, which is considered a mokam choshu? And here you don't have, so the person's hand is not 4x4 tefachim. Now, what's the basis for saying that it should need to be from a place 4x4 tefachim? Tosfos says, because in general, people don't put things on areas less than 4x4 tefachim. And probably that's how it was in the Mishkan. Also, Tosfos brings another reason that there has to be in a mokum, and if it's less than 4x4 tefachim, it's not considered a mokum. Other Rishonim give a different answer. Is that Ashba and the Rambam say somewhat similarly that something on a place less than 4x4 is very likely to fall down. So therefore, you can't say it was really noch over there. You can't say it was really resting over there, such that when you pick it up over there from there, it should be considered akira. So in any case, and then there's other Rishonim who say that it's just halacha l'mashim sinah, that that's just how it is. It has to be from a place dalad adalad. So the question is, again, over here, he's taking something which was in his hand and putting it into the balabayas' hand. No, there's no dalad in either place. Okay, when it comes to when he's putting it in, fine, he could have picked it up off the ground, which is dalad al dalad, but when he puts it into the balabayas' hand, and we're saying at that point he's chayav chatas, the balabayas' hand is in 4x4 tefachim, so why is he chayav?
He's putting something in his hand, chances the basket to receive.
Not necessarily is it a basket that's large enough.
And 4x4.
Yeah, but 4x4.
But when he puts it into the hand of balabas, it's already putting into the shusha yachad, that hole is.
Well, that's
dang,
no, that doesn't. That's 1 second. Omer Rabba. So we need akira v'hanocha ma'agam v'mokam dal adal v'lecha. And here we don't have. So why is he chayev for the hanocha? Omer Rabba, homani Rabbi Akiva. You should know our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. Gomel levein and mokam abar alaba. Rabbi Akiva in fact disagrees with that concept. He says that you don't need mokam abar alaba. At least when it comes to the hanocha. You don't need that the hanocha should be on a place dalad al dalad. Ditznan, because we learn later on in our Masechta, has zorik mershus yachid or shus yachid or shus rabim beemza. Suppose a person throws something from one rishus yachid to another over rishus rabim. Rav Akiva machayev achacham and poitur. Rav Akiva said he's going to be chayev because it passed through rishus rabim and achacham is going to say he's poitur. Rav Akiva stover. 1 second, Rav Akiva, we have to figure out. Hold on. Rav Akiva Sava Amin Kluta Kenisha Hun Chadamya. We say over there that the reason is because Rav Akiva holds that when it's Kluta, when it's grabbed by the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, Kenisha Hun Chadamya, it's as if it was placed in Rosh Hashanah. So even though it actually didn't land in Rosh Hashanah, the fact that it went through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah is considered therefore as if it landed there. Now, it didn't land on a Mokum Dalad Adalad. So you see, that you see 1 second. So you see, Rabba is trying to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. So even though it didn't land on a Mokum Dalad Adalad, Rabbi Akiva doesn't care about that. He considers as though it landed on a Mokum Dalad Adalad. And therefore, he's going to be chayev for having thrown from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. Now, we don't say, by the way, that Rav Akiva is machayev in two chatzaris. If you were to say that both the Akira and the Hanocha, you don't need four, then you would say he's actually machayev two. One for Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and another one for Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Rav Akiva is not saying that. So therefore, that means, the Rishonim explains, Rav Akiva would agree you need Akira to replace Dalal Adal. He just said you don't need Hanocha to replace Dalal Adal.
That's opposite.
Right. Right.
Because in the air, if you don't have it, so that's...
Well, because the idea is, because to take it off someplace, you start in the malacha, it has to be all from Makam Choshul. But to end the malacha that you're putting it, that's not so important.
So in our case,
whereas the Chachamim hold that not, just because it passed through the space of Rosh Hashanah does not mean that it as if it landed there. Therefore, it didn't land in Rosh Hashanah at all. Therefore, he's potter. Interesting point, by the way, Rishonim asked, if Rav Akiva holds that Klutzer Kemishahun Chadamya, how is a person ever hired for carrying Dalad Amos, Rosh Hashanah? As it passes through the space of Rosh Hashanah, it's considered as though it landed on every place where he stepped, and therefore didn't travel four amos all at once. So there's a few answers on that. One is that, okay, if we say that if he throws from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah across Rosh Hashanah, we're saying he's chayav because it's considered as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah. Well then, by the same logic, we should say that when a person is carrying Dalad Amos Rosh Hashanah, every time he puts his foot down on the ground, it's considered as though it landed. Or not even puts his foot down on the ground. The fact that it's going through the air of Rosh Hashanah, it's considered as though it landed.
Like
it landed an inch away and 2 inches away and 3 inches
but
away.
But only
left the other one. No. It's true, right. Because over there, all you need is to go from one Rosh Hashanah to another and immediately high. You don't need Dalad Amos.
But the question is,
forget about transferring from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. We know a person is also chayav for carrying Dalad Amos and Rosh Hashanah. But why? If a person carries something, Dalad Amos and Rosh Hashanah, or throws something, let's say a person takes a ball and throws it in Rosh Hashanah. It's passing over many areas in between. Why don't we say in each place, Klukka Kamishahun Chadamya, it's considered it traveled 1 inch and it stopped there and then started again, and then it stopped and then started, and therefore he's not chayav for carrying. We don't say that. So one answer is we only say this concept kulti kamisha huncha l'chumra, not l'kula. Another answer is we only say it meaning exactly that, only when it results in a chumra, like over here, where it would result. He's going to be chayav chasas, according to Rabbi Akiva, not when it would result in a kula and preventing from being chayav chasas for four amos and Rosh Hashanah. That's one answer. Another answer is that it applies only across the Rishuyas, not within the same Rishuyas. Anyway.
So the
halacha is not like Rav Akiva anyway, but wait. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so therefore, that's it. So Rav Akiva holds Kulta Kamisha Honcha. So therefore, the same way as when it passes through Rosh Hashanah, even though it didn't land there, it's considered as if it landed there. The same way, in our Mishnah, when he takes something and puts it into the other guy's hand or takes something out of it, it's considered Mokam Dalad Adalad. The question is, remember the Peshitta Leila Rabba to the Kulta Kamisha Hun Chadamya? Are you telling me that Rabba takes it as a given that the Machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is on this point of Kulta Kamisha Hun Chah, or the Soich Asara Pligi, and that in fact they are arguing only when the thing passed within 10 tefachim of the ground, which is still considered a chesarabim, because above that is makom tur. Muhammad boya boya le rabba, but we find that rabba actually asked that question. The boya rabba, because rabba asked later on in the sugya when we talk about this machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about throwing something to Rosh Hashanah. What is the underlying machloikas? All we say over there is that Rabbi Akiva is machayim and the Chachamim say he's potter, but we don't spell out what Rabbi Akiva's reason is and what the Chachamim's reason is. And Rabbi points out there are two possible ways of understanding it. There's two possible ways of understanding the machloikas. Is it l'mata miyud pligi? Is it they're arguing specifically where the thing was always within 10 tefachim of the ground, over har pligi, and therefore the machloikas would be like this? As we said, Rav Akiva saw a closer commission chadamia, but Rabbanan Savi loyamin closer commission chadamia. That Rav Akiva would hold is considered as though it landed in Rosh Hashanah, and the Chachamim would hold that not. But Ava Lamaila miyud. But if he threw it and it went above 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah, the Rehapo Potter, then everybody would agree that it's Potter. And in that case, we would mean, Udekula Alma lo yafin and zerdik mi Moshe. In which case, everybody would agree that we're not learning the case of throwing from the case of handing. Now, we were talking about before, we mentioned before, a person hands something to somebody else across a window, across a porch or whatever, across the street. Or we said, okay, it's across the street, we said he's potter, daraisa. But if it's along the same side of the street, we said he's chayev. Because again, we said that was how they did with the crushing. We said that's how they did when they were loading up the wagons. And in particular, they wouldn't throw them, because after all, they're very heavy and they don't want them to get damaged. They would pass them from one person to another. Again, hitzah, we have to remember that hitzah is malacha grua. It's a weakish sort of malacha, as we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. So therefore, unlike most malachas, where we can easily be medama milsa la milsa, we can draw an analogy between this and that, and say, just like this is also, so this is also, in the case of carrying on Shabbos, in the case of motzi merishos la merishos, we can't really do that. Whatever is spelled out is also daraisa, is also daraisa. Whatever is not, is not. Some of them are also derabanan, fine, but we can't add anything unless we find an explicit source for it, that in the Mishkan, not only they did the general malacha, but that they did it in this specific way. In other words, let me clarify what I mean by that. Let's say, for example, when it comes to, let's say, the malacha of planting. In the Mishkan, let's say, planting involved exactly that. They have to plant flax, let's say, because somebody needs to plant flax plants because they need linen for the Mishkan. Okay, so that involved planting. That didn't necessarily involve, let's say, for example, another form, or maybe it's a tolda or whatever, of the malacha of Zereya, is pruning a tree in order to encourage its growth. Like sometimes you have, you know, the dead branches on a tree, weaker branches or whatever, so you cut them off in order that the other branches and then the fruit and whatever should grow more strongly. That's part of the malacha of Zereya. Did they have to do that in the Mishkan? The pashtus not. The flax doesn't have to be pruned. It grows as a single stalk. But nevertheless, once we have that they had a malacha of Zereya in the Mishkan, then anything else that promotes plant growth is also daraisa as part of that as well. And the same thing with all the other malachas. Hotzah is not like that. Hotzah, because it's a malacha grua, because it's a weak sort of malacha and it's different than all the other ones, therefore we have to have every kind of hotzah or achnasa, we have to find some place where they actually did that kind of thing in the Mishkan. Otherwise, it can't be also daraisa. At most, it could be also derabanan. So that's why, for example, we're making the distinction between across the street versus on the same side of the street, because you have with the wagons over there. We also make a distinction between throwing and handing. Because again, when it came to the boards, they did not throw them. Later on, the Gemara tries to find some place in the Mishkan where they threw things, and the Gemara says, we actually can't find one. But we actually can't find one in that particular detail that throwing should be chayav on Shabbos at all is just hilchotik mevila. We learn a halacha on the Moshe Mishnah, that's how it is. But nevertheless, so therefore, if we say that if he threw something across Rosh Hashanah above Ken Shpachim, if we're going to say that both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim say he's potter, that would mean, we're not learning throwing from handing. We're not going to say, if you hand something above Ken Shpachim, you're still hired. Because in the Mishkan, the wagons were more than 10 Shpachim tall, and they still handed the boards from one to another. So that's what we were talking about before. We were saying before, usually 10 Shpachim is Machim Ptur, but this is one of the exceptions. You're handing something from one porch or one wagon or what have you to another on the same side of the street, even if it's above 10 shpachim, you're still chayav.
Most people are doing things above 10 shpachim.
Yeah.
The only thing is if you're actually standing there just around, then you're standing.
So we're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about later on that love, that lying or something. We're going to talk about a case where a person takes something from one side of him, passes it above 10 shpachim in front of him, and puts it down. He's also chayav. We're going to get to that also. But here we're talking about handing something. Yeah.
So coming to a point, to recap, for a melacha grua like throwing or changing
anything about Tzal Mershul Sarishot,
you have to keep it exactly the way it is.
Exactly the way it was in the Mishkan, right? Unless we have a halacha l'moshe mitzinai that tells us, for example, zerik, right? But right, we can't do wise things on our own. We can't do medam and milta l'milta as opposed to all the other malachas where we can, right? Well, right, there's obvious and there's tolda, right. So, for example, the Rambam's definition is obvious are like other ways of accomplishing the same exact malacha versus tolda, so other related things that are not quite the same malacha, but they're related conceptually, sort of.
Yeah. Are you saying that a malacha guru cannot have toldas?
No, it has toldas. That's what we said at the beginning. For example, we talked about hotzah of achnasa. Hotzah would be the av, for example, at least according to Rashi, and achnasa would be the tolda, because we don't find... Yeah, because the fact is, we find in the Mishkan that they brought things out to the workers who are sitting in Rosh Hashanah, and we don't necessarily find explicitly that they brought things back in. So that would be, so there are toldos, but we still have to have that the toldos are either halacha l'moshe b'sinai, or we find them in the Mishkan.
Did you bring them back in when you were traveling?
By the time they're traveling, then the Mishkan's already constructed. We only learn the malachas from things that they did while the Mishkan was being constructed. Think of it. For example, I mean, you have things that are done after the Mishkan is set up. They brought korbanos in it, but we don't say that things that are done for the korbanos in and of themselves are malachas. We always have to find where it was done in the construction of the Mishkan.
So the tshuvas have to be very similar, or even
in the case of Hoitzah, right? Right. Okay. So anyway, so again, so we have by the Mishkan they did not throw things. They only passed things from one person to another. So therefore, we might say that unlike handing something along the same side of the street, where a person's chayev, even if it was above 10 tefachim, because that's how they did it in the Mishkan, Zoref, we would say, is not. If he threw it above 10 tefachim, he would not be chayev, because to that extent, we're not going to compare them.
So like you,
that would be according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. That's one way of explaining their machlokas. So the machlokas would be only if it went within 10 tefachim of the ground, across Rosh Hashanah. No, with you. He threw it, but it skimmed along within 10 tefachim of the ground.
Okay. According to
then we would say Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayiv him on the ground, the kulta can be shavuncha, and the chacham I'm going to say he's potter because kulta lav can be shavuncha.
Rabbi Akiva considers zrika also kulta.
Right, we're talking about kulta is when it's zrika. He threw something. Do we consider that it's considered to have temporarily landed in Rosh Hashanah and then taken off again?
But do you have kulta when you don't throw?
If you don't throw, then there's nothing you need to talk about kulta, because if you're not throwing it, if you're carrying it, then there's nothing to talk about kulta. Then we're going to talk about later on Daf Vav, we're going to talk about the question, every time he picks up his foot or every time he puts down his foot, is that considered a separate akira v'anocha? We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that point later on Daf Vav. But right now we're dealing with throw. So that's the question. According to that, Rabbi Akiva would hold kulta, but only if it was within 10 tefachim. If it was above 10 tefachim, then we would say, unlike Moshe, where he is going to be chayiv above 10 tefachim, Zorek, he's not. Because you don't find by the Mishkan where they threw anything at all, let alone above 10 tefachim. That's one way of understanding the machloek, that says Rabbi. Rabbi Akiva saw or says Rabba, another way of understanding the machloikas is they are actually talking about where it was above 10 tefachim the whole time, or at least part of the time, over half pligi, and then the machloikas would be Rabbi Akiva stavi yafin and zorik memoshit, Rabban and stavi lo yafin and zorik memoshit. That Rabbi Akiva would say, nevertheless, just like if you pass something on the same side of the street over Rosh Hashanah and Yuchayev, even though it was above 10 tefachim, the same way we're going to say a person is chayev, the same way if he threw it, even though throwing was not done in the Mishkan. And the Chachamim are going to say that not. Moshe, yes, he's chayev. Zorik, he's not. If it was above 10 tefachim.
Moshe
means handing, Zorik means throwing.
But we just said. Just
that was one way of explaining that maybe we say lo yafin and zorik l'moshe. The other way that we have the first way of understanding the machlokas is to say everybody agrees that we don't, and therefore above 10 tefachim everybody would agree he's potter.
The first way was we said it's only zorik we're talking about. We didn't talk about moshe.
The whole machlokas over here of Rabbi Akiva and Chacham is by zorik. The question is again on the okay one second. Moshe means handing. In the first possibility of what Rabbi is saying, what the machloket could be, is do we say if it was above 10 tefachim, given that he was Zodek, he was not Moshit, we're saying he's going to be Potter. Moshit above 10 tefachim would be Chayev, according to everybody. Zodek above 10 tefachim would be Potter, according to everybody. So the machloket would be only if he's thrown within 10 tefachim of the ground. The second way of learning it is that we're talking about it is above 10 tefachim. Rabbi Akiva would hold, I don't care, that it was Zodek. Just like Moshit above 10 is going to be Chayev, Zodek is also going to be Chayev above 10. And the Chachamim are going to hold that not. But if it passes over the ground, within 10 tefachim of the ground, then everybody would agree in the second possibility that he's chayev. My time, I'm in the kol tchik mishon chadamia. Because then we would say kol tchik mishon chadamia, even according to the Chachamim. So Rabbah has the question, why is he taking it as a given in our Mishnah? Why is he taking it as a given that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva and saying, because kol tchik mishon chadamia, when we say that he himself has a suffix on that. which Tosfos points out that now either way definitely Rav Akiva holds closer to Mishnah. So it's valid for him to say the Mishnah is according to Rav Akiva. But the question is, given that there's a possibility according to him that the Chachamim would also agree with that concept, he should have rather said the Mishnah goes like the Chachamim. We would rather have that a Mishnah. Oh. We would rather have that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody, right? We would rather not have the Stam Mishnah goes only according to one Tana.
So he has no reason.
So therefore, there's no reason for him to say it goes only, well, not no reason, but why is he saying as a given it's according to Rabbi Akiva, then maybe according to him there's a possibility that it could be according to the Chachamim.
Yeah. Yeah. No reason, you didn't, could go.
Well, okay, right. Okay, as you wish. Fine. Okay. So you can't say, you can't say necessarily that the Mishnah goes like a Akiva on the basis of that, because a different way of understanding the Machlokes would be it could go according to the Chachamim as well. Okay, but we still are left with the question. Fine, we can say Kol Shekmishahun Chadamya, but that again, that doesn't answer the question that we still need Mokum Dalit al Dalit. We're still left with the question: the Oni and the Balabas's hands, the Kashrus are both above 10 Tefachim. So not necessarily is it going to work. Again, you have the two possibilities of understanding the machlokes. Not necessarily are we going to say that in the first version we could say that Rabbi Akiva would hold regardless, that he's going to be chayiv regardless whether his hand is above or ten. No, according to the first version, we would say that Rabbi Akiva would say he's chayiv only if his hand was within 10 tefachim, and the Chachamim would say that not. And in the second version, we would say that both of them would say it's chayiv only if it's within 10, not above 10, but we don't have those various distinctions. So we can't necessarily say that that our Mishnah works according to that. Elo, Rabbi Yosef, Hamani Rebbe. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, you're right. You could say that our Mishnah, which doesn't require Malkum Dalal Adalal, would be according to Rebbe. I'm sorry. I skipped a couple of lines. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. The answer is Ha Loi Kasha. The answer is that we could say it's not a problem. You're asking how could Rabbah say as a given who our Mishnah goes like when he himself is not sure of the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Ha Loi Kasha. That's not a problem. But the Diboy Ha Deiv Shitalei. Okay. He asked the question. Later on, he figured out the answer. The Sefer Rabbi Akiva Kol Tekimishon Chadamya. That yes, Rabbi Akiva holds Kol Tekimishon Chadamya, and therefore therefore the answer would be that Machlokas is in fact within 10 Tefachim, and the Chachamim disagree with that. Above 10 Tefachim, everybody would agree if he threw it over Rosh Hashanah above 10 Tefachim, he'd be Potter. But okay, then that answers that. Once we answer that question, then there we go. Then Rav Akiva holds Chlotek Mishahon Chadamya, within 10 Tefachim. So we're talking about, okay, their hands are there. So therefore, so we see he doesn't require, so therefore in that case, where it's passing over Shasarabim, he doesn't require Makam Dalal Adalal. He actually, sorry, I said it wrong. In our Mishnah, we don't even care whether it's above 10 or below 10 Tefachim, because either way, he's putting his hand into the window, so it's going into Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there's no difference. It goes as high up as Rosh Hashanah could go. So therefore, it's not on Malkum Dalal Adalal. Fine, Rav Akiva doesn't require Malkum Dalal Adalal, as we see that he says that that can be passing through Rosh Hashanah and then be considered as if it landed.
He says that whether it's
if it's within 10 Tefachim. Within 10 Tefachim of Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, it's not relevant.
No, we know that. But Rav Akiva says it. Within 10 Tefachim, you don't
it's considered as if it landed. Right, that's what you're saying. Kulture Kamisha Honcha, it's considered as if it landed.
Even above,
we would say Lo Yochin and Zodik Mimoshit. We would say that Moshit above 10 would be Chayiv, Zodik would be Potter, because they were 30th in Makom Ptur. So even Rav Akiva, we're talking about, even if we said Kulture Kamisha Honcha, it would mean it went from Rosh Hashanah to Makom Ptur, and then from Makom Ptur to Rosh Hashanah, no Chiyuv Chafet.
Right. So where does Rav Akiva argue?
Only when it's within 10 Tefachim, that's what we're saying. Only if it's within 10 Tefachim of the ground.
Right, if it's within 10 Tefachim, then everyone holds it.
No. The Chacham would hold its potter because we don't say Kol Shekmei Shehuncha. We say it passed over Shasarabim. It didn't land. It didn't land in Shasarabim. What?
That's true.
It passed through. In other words, he threw it from one porch, let's say, from one Rosh Hashanah to another, within 10 Tefachim of Rosh Hashanah. But because it didn't actually land in Rosh Hashanah, he didn't do any malacha. He went from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Rav Akiva would hold that.
When it's above 10 Tefachim, don't consider Makom Ptur.
They do, but they say it's possible either way. Whether it was within 10 Tefachim of the ground or not, either way, it didn't land in Rosh Hashanah.
For different reasons.
Okay, so in the case below, because it didn't land, and in the case above, because anyway, even if you consider it landed, it was in Makom Ptur. Right, but they don't hold it. They don't necessarily. So again, Rabba first had the question with the two possibilities. Do the Chachamim ever hold Kulta Kmishalacha? Then we can say that he reckoned, he answered, Rabba was able to answer his own question. Yes, the Chachamim don't hold a Kulta Kmishalacha at all. Only Rabbi Akiva holds of it. Therefore, it's only within 10 Tvachim that he's going to be Mechayev. Okay.
And the fact we're passing is no problem because we didn't...
Passing, we're not talking.
We didn't pass that way. We only passed this way.
Right, we didn't pass across the street. Okay. So the problem with that is, okay, but maybe you could say, Rabbi Akiva would not require that the Hanocha is on a Mokum Dalad Dalad, but maybe he at least requires that the Akira should be something.
The original question.
That's right. So Rashi explains that again, if Rabbi Akiva had held that both the Akira and the Hanocha, you don't need a Mokum Dalad, then he would have said in the case of throwing something over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that he'd be chayev, you'd actually be chayev two chachos. One for Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then Kulta Kmishalancha within 10 Tvachim, and another one from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid.
Even though there's no second force.
There's no second force, but that doesn't matter. It all came from his original force. But the fact that he doesn't do that, Rashi says, implies that he only holds that one of them needs a Mokum Dalal al Dalal. Above 10 Tvachim. Above 10 Tvachim would be Mokum Tzur, but within 10 Tvachim, we're saying. Now, what would be the logic to say that Akira would be different than Hanocha, that Akira should require a Mokum Dalal al Dalal? So Tosfos says the reason, because what are they doing by the Mishkan? What's the Akira? A person is taking something out of a box in his house, for example, which is Dalal al Dalal, and giving it to the people who are doing the work. So therefore, there's more reason for Rabbi Akiva to say that the Akira should require a Mokum Dalal al Dalal than the Hanocha. Because the Hanocha doesn't necessarily have to be on a Mokum Dalal al Dalal. Because in the Mishkan, they didn't necessarily, when they're working on their workbench over there, it's not necessarily a Mokum Dalal al Dalal.
But in the Mishkan, when they used to have these wagons, the wagons were higher than 10 Tvachim.
That's true, and that's why we said Moshe is higher above 10 Tvachim.
So,
that's not Zorik.
Why?
Because again, Moshit and Zorik are two different things. Again,
I know that, but okay. Why is the difference from Moshit from Zorik?
Because Moshit means handing, and that's what they did in the Mishkan. Zorik is throwing. According to the Maskana of the Gemara later on, they did not do any throwing in the Mishkan. And therefore, again, Hatzah being a Malacha Gura, being a weak Malacha, we can't learn anything that we don't have explicitly in the Mishkan unless we have a halacha. In the Mishkan, they didn't do Zorik. The Gemara tried, maybe they threw needles to each other, maybe they threw the shuttle back and forth when they're weaving. The Gemara slogs all that up and says that no, they didn't.
Yeah, so when he brought something to the Mishkan, they didn't bring something that was big enough to have a mucking.
They didn't necessarily, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, at this stage of the Gemara. We're saying that, no, you're talking about if the thing itself is large enough to be a mock or a shulman itself.
Those things are big enough that you need a dalal dalal.
Maybe, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, you know, say for example, you know, anybody who has gold could bring it. You know, a person has one little gold piece of gold jewelry, he brings it. He doesn't necessarily have to put it down on a place, dalal dalal. But he's taking it out of a chest that he has in his tent or whatever, which is dalal dalal, in terms of saying. So anyway, so according to Rabbi Akiva, we could maybe say the Akira that the Akira would require dalal al dalal, the Hanocha wouldn't. So therefore, again, when he throws across Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, not across, whatever, when he throws over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on the same side of the street, and we're saying within 10 Tvachim, Rabbi Akiva would say he's chayav for the fact that it's closer to Mishavuncha, as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The fact that then it's as if it took off from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, fine, that Rabbi Akiva is going to agree he's not chayav a second chatas for, because you need it from Mokum Dalal al Dalal. Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about.
Only the Akira, right.
So again, so how would that work in our Mishnah, where we have cases where the Oni is giving to the Balabayas or taking from the Balabayas, or the Balabayas is giving to the Oni or taking from the Oni, and in all four cases we said there's a Chiyuv Chatos, so you have sometimes there's Akira, sometimes there's Hanocha, and we still don't have a Mokum Dalal al Dalal, so only half the Mishnah would work according to that Akira.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, it's very difficult to throw below 10 Tvachim.
Okay, imagine
how do you throw below 10 Tvachim?
I don't know, imagine it was a paper airplane, for example. You're able to throw. A person has good aim. He's able to throw something and it remains within 10 Tvachim of the ground the whole time. Okay, I don't know. Ask the baseball pitcher. I'm sure they have that ability.
I'm sure we'll get an answer. You know what? We throw it above 10 Tvachim.
Of course, they themselves throw it above 10 Tvachim.
Yeah,
fine. Okay, onward. Come on. Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay. So, Ella Amar Rabbi Yosef, Halmani Rebbe. Okay, Rabbi Yosef says you're right. We can't say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva because at most half the Mishnah would work according to him. We can say, though, our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe. The question then becomes, hey, Rebbe, which statement of Rebbe do we find where he implies that you don't need Akira or Hanukkah from a Mokum Dawud Abraham? Ilay Mahar, Rebbe, are you going to say, davening here's 8:30. Davening here's 8:30.
That's right.
Are you going to say that we're deducing it from the following statement of Rebbe, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Zorach v'noch agave ziz kol shehu, if a person throws something and it lands on a tiny little ledge, Rebbe in Rosh Hashanah, Rebbe Mechayev v'chacham in Potter, Rebbe says he's Chayev, v'chacham says Potter. Now, we see therefore that Rebbe does not require the Hanocha to be on a Mokum Dalad al-Dalad. You could still say, Tosis points out, you could still argue, like we tried to on Rabbi Akiva, that maybe he requires the Akira to be from a Mokum Dalad al-Dalad. But okay, the Gemara is going to give a different answer anyway. Other Rishonim explain that, no, based on the fact that he's saying over here, he's talking about that it actually landed on a ziz, unlike Rabbi Akiva was talking about where it was passing through the Shoshan Adim, that it is more of an implication that Rebbe says, I don't care about Dalad al-Dalad at all. Neither Akira nor Hanukkah. So anyway, if we're going to say that we learn from that, and therefore we're going to say again, Rebbe is the one who holds, you don't need Dalad al-Dalad, that he would be the author of our Mishnah, he would be the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that the Oni or the Osher, the Oni or the Baal Bayis are giving to each other, passing from one hand to another, and they're going to be tied even though the hand is not Dalad al-Dalad.
In that version, Rabbi Akiva would...
Forget Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would require Dalad al-Dalad at least for Akira. But there, that wouldn't work with our Mishnah because two of the four cases in our Mishnah involve Akira. Rebbe, we might say, holds in all cases. The problem with that is, Hossam can be in Lameh Melechamon. In fact, later on, in Daf Zayin Daf Ches, we're going to talk again about this din of Rebbe's, about the thing landing on a ledge, on a tiny little ledge, and we're going to explain later on what Abaya says, the Amar Abaya, Hocha, the case over here, is the Ilan Ha'omid b'Shosa Yochid b'Noifer Noitel or Shosa Rabim. The case is where Rebbe says he's going to be Chayev is where you have a tree, and not a ledge per se. He just used a ledge as an example of any small thing that sticks out. So you have a tree that's standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, v'noifei noitel Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the branches of it stick out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, v'zorak, now he throws something, four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, v'noch anoifei, and it landed on the branches of the tree. The point is, the branch itself is not dalad al-dalad. So did it land on a place, dalad al-dalad or not?
So it was below 10 tefachim on a tree?
Yes. The pastures. I mean, again. Why not? You have short trees, or you have branches. One second. You have branches of a tree that extend lower down.
Standing on the tree.
No, he's not standing on the tree. He's standing in Rosh Hashanah. He threw something and it landed in the tree. It landed on one of the branches.
He was in Rosh Hashanah. The tree was where?
The trunk of the tree is in Rosh Hashanah. The branches of the tree, some of them are sticking out into Rosh Hashanah.
He threw something from where he's standing in Rosh Hashanah,
and it lands on one of the branches of the tree that are in Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So he hasn't transferred. So that's the question. He hasn't transferred from. So that's the question. Is it considered that he transferred to Rosh Hashanah? Do we say that the branches follow the tree and are considered to be in Rosh Hashanah? Then he's chayim.
One second. If you don't say it for the hand, what do we say for the tree?
Well, that's the point. One second. The Rebbe Osava Amin and Shodi Nota Basa Ikra. Rebbe says that the branches follow the trunk. Therefore, it's considered. Therefore, in other words, we consider as if it's on a Mokum Dalad al-Dalad. As if it's on a Mokum Dalad al-Dalad. But Rabbanan Savi Lamin and Shodi Nota Basa Ikra. The Rabbanan are going to say that not. Therefore, in other words, the branch itself is not dalad al-dalad. It has no chshivos. In other words, it's not so much that Rebbe is saying that because the tree is standing on Rosh Hashanah Yachid, therefore the branches are considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's more that because the trunk itself is dalad al-dalad, it itself is a makom kashuv, therefore even the small branch is considered a makom kashuv.
Even though this particular branch,
well, it is in a different Rosh Hashanah, that's what we're talking about, but. So actually, Tosfos discusses actually that we could actually, we don't even have to say that it's across Rishuyas. We could even say we're talking about it's all within the same Rishuyas. And the question is, again, whether the trunk of the tree makes the branch have a certain Chashivos, that the branch is considered Dalad al-Dalad. But again, with a person is not a person is not Dawud al Dawud necessarily. The place where the person's feet are standing is less than Dawud al Dawud. So therefore, so you can't say because of that that Rebbe would hold in general that you don't need a Kirub Hanacha from a place Dawud al Dawud. So there it's a specific case involving the branch of the tree. Not necessarily. Can we generalize from that to other cases? As far as the question whether it's within 10 shvachim, above 10 shvachim, actually you have actually Tosfos discussed at the end of the Tosfos over here. But Ilan discusses it a little bit there's a few possibilities. In fact Tosfos says that if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, then it wouldn't matter. It would be considered an Rishus Rabim regardless. And if it's above 3 tefachim, then the only way would be between 3 and 10. Then he'd be chayav only if, let's say, what he threw, Tosfos says, let's say he threw a juicy fig or a piece of dough or whatever and it stuck to the branch. But if it actually landed on the branch, then not necessarily. Okay. Anyway. So we can't say anyway on the basis of that statement that Rebbe would say in general you don't need Mokum Dawud al Dawud, only in that specific case, as you're saying.
Over the tree,
only in that specific case, right? Ela Hor Rebbe. Rather, we can say we can learn from the following statement of Rebbe. The Tanya, Zorach Mershus Rabim, Mershus Rabim, or Rishus Yachid Be'emza. Person throws from one Rishus Rabim to another with a Rishus Yachid in between. So the opposite of the case we talked about before is Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Here you have, let's say, that now here it doesn't matter whether it's within 10 Shvachim or not, because Rishus Yachid, Ola Abba Rakiya. So you have, let's say, for example, as we're going to talk about in a second, the Gemara is going to talk about the question, are we talking about that there was a house in between, or are we talking about that there was a chaser in between? But let's assume to start with, to keep things simple, that we're talking about a house. There's a house there between two Rishus Rabim. So a person stands in one Rishus Rabim, he throws something, it goes less than 4 amas in that Rishus Rabim, so fine, he's not chayav yet for that. It passes through one window of the house, it goes out the opposite window, and it could easily be above 10 tefachim, because there's no problem with that, and it continues into the other Rishus Rabim, goes less than 4 amas, and lands. Is he chayev or not? Rebbe Mechayev, Rebbe says he's chayev, a chum says he's father, and the Amr of Yehoda Amr Shmuel, Mechayev hoya Rebbe Shtayim. Actually, Rebbe would say he's chayev 2 chatoris, achas mishum haitzah, achas mishum achnasa. Because one, because it's considered as if it landed in Rishus HaYachid, and another one, because as if it took off from Rishus HaYachid and landed in the other Rishus HaRabim. So he did 2 transfers on Shabbos, so he's chayv 2 chatzos. Alma loy boy akirav alay anocha, al gavim mokam dawar al gavim. So you see that Rebbe does not require akira or hanocha. Not like Rebbe Akiva, we were saying before, at least requires akira from mokam dawar al gavim. He doesn't seem to require either. So he could be the Tana of our Mishnah. The problem with that is, Ha'itmar Allah, it was said about that. Rav Shmuel Da'amitabayu, Rav and Shmuel say, true, he is Mechayev too, Chatoiz, but when Mechayev Rebbe, Ela Rishos HaYachid Mekura. However, Rebbe would only be Mechayev if the Rishos HaYachid has a roof over it. The house has a roof, right, but a Chatoiz does not.
Oh.
And the reason why he would be chayev, not on the ground of Klota Kenishoncha, but Damina Deita Kamanda Malya Damya. Because we can say a house, when it has a roof, something that's closed in on all sides, can be considered as though it's filled up to the ceiling. So therefore, the airspace of it is not considered to be an airspace, mahalacha. So therefore, what happens? So when he throws it through this house, yes, the house is empty and it actually sails through one window and out the other, but Rebbe would say that no, we consider as though that house was a solid block. So therefore, he threw it into the window and it landed in that solid block, and of course, he's chayav for that, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Then it took off from that solid block and went out to the other Rishus HaRabim. Okay, because let's say there's enough of a hole in the solid block. But in other words, it landed in that block conceptually, and therefore, he's chayav. So therefore, Avol She'ein HaMakor Aloi. But Rebbe would agree that if it's not covered up, you can't say basic command of Mal Yadamah, because there's no roof to say that it's filled up until the roof. So then he's not chayim. The chitema hachanami b'makura. So that wouldn't work with our Mishnah. The chitema hachanami b'makura. So you're going to answer that our Mishnah could also be talking about where it's roofed over. The problem is hakenach the Rishus HaYachid. That would explain the Rishus HaYachid part where the balabai is standing. Sure, you could say instead of that he's standing in his chaser, you could say he's standing in his house. Fine. His house looks out directly over Rishus HaRabim, and the oni sticks his hand in through the window. But how would you have, you don't have such a thing as a Rishus HaRabim that's roofed over where a person, where it should be considered a Rishus HaRabim and a person is Chayav Daraisa for carrying in it. The Amr of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amr of Abba, Amr of Huna, Amr of Hamavir Chesed Dal Amos Rishus HaRabim Mekura. If a person transfers something Dal Amos, or for that matter, transfers from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, where the Rishus HaRabim is roofed over, like you have a lot of these streets in Yerushalayim, for example, that are arcaded over or whatever. So then Potter, input Potter, Lafisha ain't a general of Digla Midbar, because that's not the kind of thing that they had in the encampment in the desert. They didn't have a Rishus HaRabim that was roofed over. The Rishus HaRabim was open to the air. It was the streets. It was the desert over there. So there's no such thing as a covered Rishus HaRabim. One of the definitions of Rishus HaRabim is that it's uncovered. So you can't say, therefore, that the Oni is standing in a Rishus HaRabim that's covered, because then it wouldn't be a Rishus HaRabim. It would be a Kaimalist. Then you can't be talking about anybody being Chayav for transferring in and out of that. So we have to be talking about an uncovered Rishus HaRabim. And an uncovered Rishus HaRabim, Rebbe is not going to say that it's considered as though it landed over there. So how does that work with our Mishnah? So we can't say that our Mishnah works according to Rebbe either. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll continue working out who our Mishnah can be like.
We have to hang in now,
yeah. Shkaya. I don't know if my voice has